Yes, indeed. Let us get to work here and welcome everyone to Article 5 Live, coming to you live from somewhere in northern Arizona, the northern command of this portable studio. Thanks for joining us tonight, Article 5 Live. It is my pleasure to bring you a little bit of commentary tonight. I think that we have to take a look at a few things that are happening. First of all, it's great news to hear that in Florida, there is a grocery store that is a feed store type thing. You guys saw it, where the owner is posting the option about masks. I think that's really cool stuff. And made the news, and people are ridiculing him for it, but he is really courageous. Now, up here in the northern part of the formerly great state of Arizona, we went shopping today at a Safeway, and I would say somewhere between half and two-thirds of the people in the entire store did not wear masks. And this was very refreshing. Stopped and had a great conversation with a nice young lady in the store about what everybody thinks is going on in our strange new world here, our brave new world, I should say. And that was enjoyable. So there's a glimmer of hope that people are actually starting to figure out that the COVID reaction was a hoax. It's too bad that one of the best presidents ever in American history that we ever had, Donald J. Trump, was sucked into the coronavirus hype to the point where he wanted to be our hero with the new, injectable to save the day. Here we come to save the day, Like I've said before, nobody can be an expert on every subject. And you have to rely, you have to defer to people that have spent their life studying these things if you want to be an effective leader, because after all, you can't know everything about everything. And he did what he did. And so, but it was probably why he's not in the White House right now. So that brings me to the question of, why would anybody put injectable material, one of a very famous and educated individual in the medical field with three PhDs, called experimental biological agent, also known as genetic therapy? It's carrying the moniker of vaccine. It is not one. It is a genetic experiment. And we have an entire country clamoring to have this thing injected. And it's very, very strange indeed. I wish people would do some independent research, listen to the censored doctors, the ones that have been fired for telling the truth, the ones that do not care to make the ones that do not care to make big pharma trillions of dollars at the expense of the health of the public of the world, these kinds of things. So this is all my opinion for those of you who wanted to censor and take this channel down and all that stuff. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not saying anything false. I'm gathering all the evidence and giving you what I think about it, okay? And I think it's a bunch of hooey. And I think that people have been scared into submission in this regard. I think that they you know, people are scared. People, nobody wants to die from a creepy chimera virus that was created in a bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China, with American money from the NIH. And it was started in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, as a project. And when it was discovered that, hey, you know, this is against the biological weapons treaties. Oh, yeah, it is. So let's move it to Wuhan, you know. And people that don't want to hear that, you know, will block it out and call you a conspiracy theorist. But there's, you know, there's just a lot of disinformation out there, particularly about the medical tyranny going on. And it's probably the most serious problem. It's probably even more serious than what's recently happened to our republic. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in that regard, I gotta say. And I don't know what to think about all of that. Because here's the thing. 30,000 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. We know it's not because of what reasons they say it is. Obviously, they never tell us the truth, so why would they start now? I might catch more fish. I didn't have time to change clothes because I've been screwing with this camera. I got my laptop camera giving you this image of a gray shirt, and it looks lavender on the thing, which is kind of weird. I was trying to get my good camera going, but the internet connection up here is so slow, I couldn't download the software quick enough. So it is what it is, and thanks for your patience. I'm still putting together the little details of being able to be mobile and take this show wherever I happen to be on a Sunday evening. So in order to continue, we need to know what the hell's really going on in D.C. Because every exclamation makes zero sense. Okay. The people that are saying that the United States corporation is bankrupt and that fence is designed to keep people in rather than stop people from going in, that doesn't make any sense because they don't sleep there. I don't know that I buy that line. I don't think I buy the line that they want to be protected from domestic terrorists, which we don't have any. Anybody that supported Trump is now considered a domestic terrorist. So, you know, that's BS. Because now you're accusing 80 million Americans of being, domestic terrorists. That's just not reasonable, nor is it logical. But this is the rhetoric they're pounding. This is not the rhetoric of a party that has control of all the levers of the most powerful country in the world. It's the rhetoric of somebody that's afraid of losing their freedom. So that doesn't make sense. And the Alex Jones version of things that says that we're all in deep crap and you know, this is the end of America and all the worst case scenario stuff that Alex likes to put out there. That really doesn't make any sense. So what's really going on in DC? That's a very good question indeed. I don't know the answer, but I do know one thing for sure. It's really odd. And what if the people that say that Trump is still the president of the republic and Biden is the CEO of the American corporation and the corporation has been disbanded and it's bankrupt and that we don't have to obey anything that comes out of the Biden administration because it's been made null and void. You know, it sounds fantastical as hell. But would you ever believe 6 months ago that we would be here in this situation that we are? You could have told me that, and I would have said, well, it could happen, but I don't think it could possibly. Here we are. So isn't that interesting? I don't know what the truth is. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of disinformation out there. And it's a complicated situation. And as you know, we had Steve Pachinik double down on his original statement on Alex Jones' show earlier in the week. Steve said that that, you know, Trump is still the president of the republic, just along the lines of the folks that are talking about the American corporation was created in 1871, and it's been, you know, we've been under siege and all that, how it ties into the Federal Reserve and all that stuff. Yeah, I hope so. I don't know if I buy it. It's a lot of different sources saying the same thing, you guys, but they say they're all coming from different sources, but it all can be traced back to similar things that were being said by the message board. So was the message board something legit and then somebody took it over and led it astray, or I don't know. Here's the other thing that bothers me about all these theories that everything's okay and absolutely 100% sure that Trump's still in control and all that stuff you hear. The problem with that is, if that's true, we shouldn't know about it. If there's some kind of an operation going on behind the scenes, why do we know anything about it? Because it would have to be done completely on the QT. So I have my doubts. You know, I say all the doubts will be gone in a few months. If we're there's still the claims that President Biden, that's the first time I ever said that. I mean, Chairman Biden is, you know, in control of the country from the White House. If that seems to be the truth a few months from now, well, it probably is the truth. And all the other guys were full of crap. I don't know. But I do know that there's two key things that one of the greatest presidents in American history missed a boat on. One is the COVID-19 hype and hoax. The hoax part of the COVID-19, of course, being the lockdowns and all that stuff that was war-gamed in October of 2019 by a thing called Event 201. Look it up. They planned out how they're going to lock everybody down if there was ever a pandemic. And then lo and behold, a few months later, that's just exactly what they did. Now, is that in and of itself proof that it's a sinister thing? No. But if you look at the folks that are involved, these people are not good people. Bill Gates, for instance, his head's wanted on a platter in about 13 different countries for what he's done to the population with his quote unquote vaccines. You know, go see what they think of Bill Gates in the Congo. There's many other African countries. Go and ask them, how they like Bill Gates. They all want to throw his ass in prison, and that's being kind about it. I think they want to do something a heck of a lot worse than throwing him in prison, okay? Why is that? It's because he's wonderful. He has a 99% disapproval rate in the latest poll, Bill Gates. Why is that? Our medical savior, the man that owns all the patents on all the things they're putting in modern vaccines, like the traceabilities and the medical records and all that kind of stuff. He has a 1% approval rate. Why is that? Because he's a great guy and he has your best interests at heart. Where's his medical degree? In fact, where's Bill Gates any kind of degree? Oh, yeah, but JD, he wrote, you know, MSDOS. Oh, did he? No, he didn't. It was purchased. Bill Gates can't even fix a computer virus, let alone any other kind of virus, okay? Come on, you guys. Bill Gates is not your buddy. He's not my buddy. And I have to say, he is a very disliked individual. And let's talk about Klaus Schwab for a minute. Klaus Schwab, yes, the guy who started the World Economic Forum in 1971. Klaus Schwab, the guy who says all industries that require personal contact will not survive. In other words, anytime you want any personal interaction with anybody, that's not going to happen in the future, according to Klaus Schwab, because, you know, that kind of stuff. We're going to all be locked down. We're going to have 3, 4, 5 masks on, swabs up our butts, and vaccines every 3 months that don't work, that are actually doing other things than what vaccines are supposed to be doing. This is all so they can reset the world monetary system, which is overinflated by 100 times. And if we, the people, ever figure all that out, those people know that we're going to want their head on a pike for doing to us, for stealing everything. That's what all this lockdown's about. Okay, lock down all the mom and pops. Take all everybody's assets. But no, let Walmart stay open. But close your local mom and pop shop. Let all the big boys stay open. Close all the middle class. So they can, like they say, vertically integrate all those funds into the major corporations. And I hate to tell you all this, but our government doesn't make the rules in this country, and it hasn't for quite some time. It's the multinational corporations that run our government and everybody else's government. It's the International Monetary Fund. It's the World Bank. It's all these globalist organizations with all these scum buckets. You know, there's probably 1,000 total people on the whole upper echelon that run the entire world, and everything else is a freaking illusion. And deep state goes way beyond the United States problem. It goes into all the other governments of the world as well. So if Trump is on some kind of a mission to sort all this kind of stuff out, like everybody claims that it's going to take time and all that, it ain't going to happen overnight. But here's the thing, what I think will happen, all the people that are claiming all this clandestine stuff's going on, the military's actually in control, and God, I hope they're right. But you know what? I hope they hurry up before everybody that went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th gets thrown in a gulag somewhere, okay? I might be a little selfish in that wish, if you guys know what I mean. But anyhow, you know, I hope those guys are all right. But here's the thing. 4 years from now, after we've elected another president through phony elections, they're still going to be saying, yeah, this process is still going on. It didn't get screwed up overnight. You know, all the people that claim that there's some kind of a great purging of all the deep staters and all that stuff will still be telling us, oh yeah, well, you know, this stuff takes time. And meanwhile, you know, half of all the Trump supporters have been, you know, red flag lawed and deemed psychologically incapable of owning a firearm and all this other stuff that they're pulling right now. So you know, God, I hope that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. I also pray for anybody to have the strength to do the right thing in the face of all the persecution that's likely coming all of our way. And yes, Lisa Kelly. Yeah, it makes you want to puke saying that. I won't even say it again. I apologize for ever saying it. It's the first time I've ever saying that, Lisa. Never said that before. It's always been Chairman Biden. And yes, I stole that from Owen Schroyer. Chairman Biden is what I refer to him as, because He is not a duly elected president of the United States. Everybody knows it, which brings me to the thing that everybody's talking about all over the internet, and that is the pillow tycoon, Mike Lindell's 3-hour video called Absolute Proof, or whatever the hell it's called, but it's all about all the stuff we've heard bits and pieces of, about evidence of the election being manipulated in a dozen different ways. And it is pretty compelling, I have to say. Everyone that I know that have seen it, even people that weren't convinced that, you know, there was some funny business going on in the election, that has saw that and commented on it, has made the statement that it was very compelling. So I have to say, my good friends, I you know, it is compelling. And it was compelling before Lindell did it. Those of you that dig into these things, I know you know that. But you know, Lindell's kind of a simpleton, really, and like me. But he has this particular drive quality about him that makes him just a tenacious bulldog type of an individual. And it is a very good quality to have indeed. And the MyPillow guy is, I think, fundamentally a good guy. He really hates InfoWars. I can tell you that right now. He is wanting nothing to do with them, which is irrational, and it's surface. By the way, if you're still one of those people that hate InfoWars, you have to realize that no source is 100%. Very few sources are over 50%. There's a few left. I would say Newsmax teeters at 45 to 50% reliable. OAN ranks a little higher. NDT's not too bad. And InfoWars beats all those guys. Yeah, are they 20% bullshit? Yeah, they are. But what about the 80% that they're not? You know, right now there's a big fight going on between, Steve Pachinik and Alex Jones. And Pachinik is losing his patience with the Jones, and Jones is ridiculing Pachinik after having him on his show for 20 years as one of his most reliable sources as far as an insider of the, CIA ops and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, now, because Pachinik says, hey, just hang tight, things are happening, Jones wants to lump him in with all the people that are the Q followers, which I don't even know, and I don't have anything against Q followers, and I don't have nothing against Q, but I was never convinced by the Q stuff. And I was, because a lot of this stuff you hear from the Q drops, that was concluded, like all the pedophilia, and that was all exposed long before there was ever such a thing as Q. So, maybe a lot of people got introduced to that by Q, but we all, rest of us that were looking in that stuff, knew all about that stuff long before the Q was around. Okay. So, and there's a lot of other things that Q drops have indicated that are obviously true. It's that twist at the end that says, oh, don't worry about it, we got it all under control, and all this is happening and all that. I don't know. But as if you haven't seen the Pachinik thing, it's about an hour long. Go to band.video and check it out, and listen to Pachinik himself. I'm not going to play that on the show tonight because it's almost a full hour. But he says, I don't know about Q, never heard of Q, don't know anything about Q. I'm just telling you from the people I work with in the past, this is what's going on. And I trust the Patriots and what they're doing. And he says the military's in control. And God, I hope he's right. He's certainly more of an insider than I am, or any of the Q followers, by the way, who think they're insiders. By the way, I heard that everybody's heard by now that Jake, the Q shaman, has basically told his persecutors, something that they want to know, and at least enough to get organic food in a federal penitentiary. That's pretty good accomplishment right there. I see maybe they'll let him out sometime. Meanwhile, the other people have been locked up, have not said anything, and they're facing multiple years and multiple felony charges and all that stuff. So let's see what happens on that before we condemn or praise anybody for being a persecuted soldier for the righteousness of the Republic or the opposite. Who knows what real? See, here's the problem. Everything we get, I don't care where it comes from, we don't know if it's true or not. If you claim you know what's going on, you are likely making assumptions that are outside the realm of provability, because there is so much deception and multiple sources of disinformation on our side and on the other side, and who knows the crossover, and it's all mixed up, you guys. It's really, really tough to figure out what's really going on. Yeah, Mike Vplex says the video from the MyPel guy is good. It really is good. He spent some money. He got a producer. He put all that stuff together. It's well worth your time to watch it. And one of the things that I forgot to say when I was saying that MyPel guy doesn't like InfoWars, and how to, you know, if you go to band.video, even though there's bad blood on one side of that way, Alex has posted that video on band.video. So Jones is saying, I don't care if he doesn't think we're reliable. Check this video out, okay? So at least somebody's being, there's the adult in the room there in that case. Now, it's been, you know, that may not have been that way every time with InfoWars, but this time he's the one being the adult here. So, and how do I know that my pill guy doesn't like InfoWars? Well, I know that because when Right Side Broadcasting was trying to cover one of the rallies, and Mike Lindell became one of their big sponsors. He steered them away from covering InfoWars being there. And that was because he didn't want to be associated with them. But, you know, we got to get over that, because the folks at InfoWars aren't always correct, and they do make assumptions, and Alex tends to give you worst case scenario every time. But you know what? No one else reads 100 different articles a day before they go on the air, you know, and no one's been studying this globalist crap for the past 25 years like Alex Jones has. So you got to realize, whether you like InfoWars or not, they're one of the few people that endeavor to bring you truth. The rest of the people are doing what their puppet masters tell them to, and what is kosher with their sponsors and all that kind of stuff. Why is InfoWars not embroiled in that? Because their funding comes from their own product distribution, their own product production. He built his whole infrastructure, his funding infrastructure, and his broadcast infrastructure. That's why he's still around after they took him off of every platform. He's got his own satellite link. He's got his own everything you need to have your own platform. He spent the $10 to $20 million to do that while he had that money from selling vitamins, basically, and supplements. So he is beholden to no one. That's why he can go on his air and say whatever he wants without fear of losing sponsors. One of the reasons I haven't pursued sponsorship for this broadcast, this multicast, is because I don't want anybody to tell me what I can and I can't say. And I'm in negotiation with some people to make things bigger and distribution better and stuff like that. But I haven't solidified anything because I want to be able to say whatever the hell I want to say. I don't want anybody to have influence on what you, what we say to each other here on this broadcast. And it's almost a miracle that we're even, you know, we're on Facebook and we're on YouTube and we're on Periscope still, and we're on Twitch and we're on several other platforms. You know, I don't get a lot of distribution. I get shadow banned pretty heavily. Oh, and by the way, someone go and post this live video on our Facebook group, Friends of Article 5, because I'm not streaming to that right now because I'm only allowed 8 outlets. So anyway, so I wanted to point out that in the past, Lindell has not been open to anything of InfoWars or Bandop video reporting. Now, I don't know that that's still the case, but I know this much. Alex has put his offered the olive branch long before Mike has. So let's see what happens on that, because, you know, as Mike loses conventional friends, like I think Fox has taken all of his advertising down and he's been banned on all the social medias and all that stuff. And he got into it with that idiot, Bob Sellers. You know, I have to talk about Newsmax for a little bit. Bob Sellers is a moron. He has always been a moron. He is not a knowledgeable individual. He reads a lot of script. You know where his expertise lies is in, he's kind of like a Wall Street guy. He knows about stocks and trading and stuff like that. When it comes to news and politics, that's not this guy's expertise. So he has always stayed again away from anything that is even the slightest bit controversial. When they first put that woman on there, the Southern Belle that used to be on Fox in the mornings, I forget her name right this second. When they put her on with him, he freaked out when she tried to steer her part of the segment the way she wanted to go. I mean, I thought she was going to be gone because I thought he had more juice than that with the Newsmax network. She actually ended up going on vacation and coming back and doing what she wanted anyway. But Sellers is a moron. And it doesn't surprise me that he's such a chicken shit that he walked off a stage because Mike Lindell wanted to get his message out. And Bob Sellers wouldn't shut his mouth for 2 seconds in order to hear what Mike Lindell had to say. He's so scared of the truth, so scared of what could happen to his job if he let Mike Lindell talk on Newsmax. So those of you who think Newsmax is the alternative Fox, think again, because Chris Ruddy is neither a genius nor he's an angel. He is a guy who wants to take advantage of a position where Fox has stepped on their own, you know what. And so he hung on to the idea of Trump support as long as he possibly could without losing all of his sponsors, Ruddy did. So now they're in the business of protecting the idea that their election was legitimate, just like all the other networks are. The only ones not doing it are non-conventional, non-traditional media. So you part of the Mockingbird Media created by the CAA back in the 60s, Newsmax falls into that category right along with the rest of them. So, unfortunately, there's really nowhere to go. I don't even, you know what I watch a lot now? MeTV. I watch a lot of modern marvels and how it's made. When I'm watching TV, it's usually something like that. I don't get my news from the TV anymore, because if you're getting your news from the TV, you don't really know what the hell's going on. You have to get your news from alternative sources these days. Yeah, Terry Augarten says, don't watch. Let me put it on there. Yeah. I don't watch Newsmax after he did that. That's right, Terry. I get it, man. I get it. So lots of interesting things are going on. And you know what? I'm more hopeful now this week than I've been in a long time. And I'm telling you why. One of the reasons is I quit watching news on the television. You know, now I'm not anywhere near as not anywhere near as pessimistic as I was, but I've been being constantly fed the negative propaganda from legacy corporate media. You know, legacy corporate media is, you know, fed the party line for all of us plebs to consume. If you go digging around and poking around a little bit and you find like that video, hour-long video from that doctor from Arizona who has like 3 or 4 degrees. She's a neurosurgeon and an emergency room lady and studied all these things. And she comes on and tells you just exactly what she thinks about this, you know, this biological agent they want to hit you with, and they're calling it a vaccine. And also they tell you, she tells you just exactly what she thinks about the COVID response. And of course she is immediately banned, you know, everywhere, you know. Anybody that wants to tell you anything but the BS surrounding this whole takeover of the monetary system called the COVID-19 response, the Great Reset, these are all the same things. And that's admitted by that jerkazoid that I mentioned earlier, that Klaus Schwab creature that that is determined to dehumanize and just disrespect all of us. You know, this mask thing really doesn't have anything to do with protecting people from the disease. It has to do with the submission. Everybody needs to do whatever the government says they need to do. That's what the mask thing is all about. The 2-3-4 mask, the swab up the butt, in order to be able to fly or take a cab or go on public transportation or into any public place, then it's going to, you know, it'll just escalate from there. It'll be an app on the phone that keeps an eye on you. And if you haven't checked, you know, you haven't taken a phony COVID test or you haven't, you can't prove you took this experimental biological agent into your bloodstream, you're not going to get to do what everybody else is going to do. That's where they're trying to go with this. And I think I'm more optimistic than I've been a long time that's going to backfire in their face, because more and more people are waking up to the fact that this is a power grab. This is not just a power grab. It's an extraction of wealth from the middle class. They want all poor people and a few ultra rich. That's the goal. And they want to eliminate anybody in the middle. And that's what this is designed to do. And if you think about it, that's exactly what they're doing. Everybody worked their ass off for a little business here and there all their life, you know, making a couple $100,000 a year, upper middle class, right? Well, that's been taken from many of those people. For what? To protect us from a disease with an overall survivability rate of 99.993%. Do you realize that means that of the people that really have proved to have COVID, not phony COVID, but proved to have COVID, 3 out of 10,000 of those people die from it. 3 out of 10,000. Do you realize that's just about the rate of people dying from a lightning strike? Now, notice, I didn't say that's the rate of people getting struck by lightning. That's higher than that. People, because not everybody dies from getting hit by lightning, okay? I'm talking about the death rate from being hit by lightning is about the same as COVID. Maybe a little more, actually. These are the things they don't want you to know. Now, particularly people that are listening to me tonight on this fine Sunday night coming to you from the Northern Command somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona, realize what I'm saying is true and probably have since, you know, the beginning or so. Somewhere along the line, you picked that up. But imagine on the number of people that watch their local news. Let's say you live in the Phoenix area, for instance, and you watch Channel 10, Fox 10, or you watch I think the The NBC affiliate is 12, and the ABC is 15, and the CBS is channel 5. You watch your local news at 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock. You know, I quit that habit 25 years ago. I can't take the BS of local news. The only time I watch it is if I want a local weather report or, you know, something that's locally specific that has nothing to do with politics. Yeah, then I might turn on that news like once or twice a year. But generally speaking, it's forbidden in my household to have local news on the television set because it's just full of such crap. Who could even listen to that? But no, the reason I went into all that is because there's like maybe a third or half the people in this country still watch that stuff every day or four times a week or something. So are those going to be the people that know something different about COVID other than what the legacy media is telling them? No, they're going to believe it. They're going to put the two masks on, shove the swab up their butt because, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's scary. People aren't curious. And plus, the media that they do listen to has scared the living crap out of them about what this stuff can do. And so, wow, you know, and I think that's our biggest problem, you guys. I think people are so not curious. It's kind of the same thing that led Trump to make his two major mistakes that he made. The number one mistake during the Trump presidency was not following his own instinct when he wanted to tell everybody to open their churches and businesses and everything up on Easter of 2020. That was his gut instinct. He was correct with that instinct, and he should have forced people to do that. He should have stood down a national emergency at that point and threatened the governors who didn't do the same thing with a retraction of funds wherever the executive branch could affect that. That's exactly what he should have done. Now, that's hindsight. But it's that does make it wrong because it's hindsight. You know what I'm saying? So that in analysis, that is his number one mistake. The number two mistake was not attacking aggressively the bias in social media. He should have filed antitrust through whatever governmental means it could be done, and he should have continued to fire people in the government until he could get somebody that would carry out those orders. That was another problem. He had massive, massive insubordination throughout the executive branch. So even when he would give an order, they would slow walk it or not do it at all. Now you got Chairman Biden supposedly in charge of this country, and as soon as he says something, it's instantly implemented by these traitors. They're absolute traitors in our government. So, but all this is hindsight now that we have to get over all this. Now, here's an interesting thing too I wanted to say about all that. We as patriots, and we still support our great president, Donald J. Trump. But we also know that we have to move past that and say, okay, what's next? Right? The people that cheated Trump out of this term, at least that's what it appears by all indications, cannot move past Trump. It's all about Trump. And it's all these idiots that have put this guy that can't even, you know, pick his own nose without help in the most important position on planet Earth. They have massive voter remorse, but they never admit it because, you know, the human ego won't allow such things. So what do? They still are. They are now attack people that supported Trump. You know, four or five reasons why it's going that way. But one of those reasons is because Trump's not around to kick around anymore. They can't really do anything to him. And so what are they going to do? They have to root us out. they think. They have to root us out of the country. Anybody that voted for Trump is their enemy, and they know it. So isn't that interesting? Now, which brings us to the next interesting point that's been developing, and that is this unconstitutional impeachment of a president who is not currently in office. Now, there are two schools of thought. Well, there's three schools of thought on this. One of the schools of thought is a very simplistic one. There is a constitutional attorney with a bald head that's a former Green Beret that appears on Bandot video a lot that says that those people that are continuing forth with an impeachment of a president who's supposedly not out of office is an, in and of itself an acknowledgement that he's still the legitimate president of the United States, in spite of the idea that he was not elected last time. Ivan Raiklin is who I'm talking about, says that, hey, just the fact that they're impeaching a guy who's not in office tells you they believe he's still in office. Now, he's not on the side of the people that think that the American corporation that Chairman Biden is the CEO of and Donald Trump is the president of the republic. Those people, he's not hooked up with those people. This is an independent thinker thinking that, hey, listen, they're acknowledging Trump is president since they're willing to impeach him. Well, he's got a point, but I don't know that logic has a place in government any longer. His logic is sound, actually. But I don't know that these demons that we've allowed to take possession of our lives through our government, I don't believe they care about logic or truth or our rule of law or any of those things that we have grown up with in this country believing we have. See, that's what's happened. All truth, all logic, all regard for those two things, and also the rule of law have all disappeared in 2021. They don't exist anymore. Yet we still try to operate on the premise that people go by these things that have always existed all of our lives. Think about that. Truth, logic, rule of law, gone. Not to mention they aren't paying attention to the Constitution. So is Ivan Raiklin right when he says they're acknowledging President Trump is still president because they're trying to impeach him when they say he's not out of office? Well, logically, he's correct, but there's no logic. So there's one school of thought. Another school of thought is they want to proceed with this impeachment so that they can attach an addendum to it in the Senate that says he can never run for office again. Well, first of all, there's a lot of problems with that, but that's one reason there's a school of thought to go ahead with it. Now, what's more, even way more interesting than either of those two things is the school of thought that, who is it? Come, I think it's, is it Swallowswell or is it the pencil neck? I think it's the pencil neck has come up with the idea that, well, maybe we ought to just censor the president and not go through with this trial in the Senate coming up this coming week. And because there's a possibility that Trump, with his new lawyers, have a new approach to this. They're going to want to testify for 100 hours. They're going to bring all the videos and probably play Mike Lindell's new production in the Senate. And guess what? That will be covered everywhere. So the Democrats don't necessarily want to risk that. Because if their party, the people on Democrat side that are still fair-minded individuals and just been brainwashed by all the hyperbolic rhetoric and all the propaganda coming out of the communist wing of the Democrat Party, if they get wind of what really happened in this election, many of those people, just because they're Democrats, they're still good people, and they might go, wait a minute, this isn't right, and our people are wrong to do what they're doing, because I know good Democrats, and I know they still exist, although you never hear about too many of them, and if you do, they get deplatformed right away, like the guy that started the hashtag walk away movement. They deplatformed him and locked his ass up for being in DC on the 6th, from what I understand. So the point is, they run a big risk if they continue forward with this impeachment trial in the Senate, because Trump and his lawyers team can use this to educate the uneducated about what really happened in the last election. And if his current team of lawyers are on his side and are not sabotaging him like the last teams have, I'm not talking about the ones we know that have been firebrands that have been trying to tell us the truth, like Rudy, like, Sidney Powell, like maybe even Lynn Wood. A lot of people say he went nuts. I don't know about that. The other guy, DeGeneva, and his wife, Victoria Tunzing. What about those two? They're pretty straightforward people with a hell of a reputation. Those people, I mean, Giuliani, as a prosecutor and an attorney, it's hard to get any. Here, this guy's mind is capable of taking a complex event and thing and condensing it down. The average person can follow it just like a logical sentence. Giuliani is the best at that. And they couldn't have that. So they've had to discredit this guy in any way they know how. But any of you that spent any time watching all the hearings that we did have in the state legislatures, which were ignored by all the powers that be, knows that Giuliani was on to something. After all, isn't he the guy that defeated the mob in New York City? Yeah, he is that guy. And the mob had how much money against him and how many threats against him and how many resources to take his ass out? And he beat him. He didn't do that because he's not good at it. Okay. He's one of the best. So I guess my point is this. Look for the Democrats to limit this trial. If they can't, if they don't just knock it off and go to the censure, because they don't have the votes to convict the president, number one. And they don't even, and if they do, let's say they did, you know, Trump could challenge that in the Supreme Court and win, because John Roberts, who is no stellar pillar of righteousness, obviously, won't even have any part of presiding over this procedure against the president, because it's not constitutional. And even a scumbag like Roberts, well, doesn't want to be involved in it for that reason. So what does that tell you? So they have a partisan Democrat presiding over the trial in the Senate of a president that's no longer in office. This is totally out of order on every single freaking level. So, do they really want to go through and allow Trump and his lawyers to prevent all the evidence in his defense? That ain't going to happen. That's what should happen. If President Trump and his team of attorneys are allowed to present their side of the case in this Senate trial, that's exactly what they should do. They should hammer the hell out of it every single day, get as much media coverage as they can, get the message out to all the people that have been fed all the crap and public opinion, and it'll end up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will rule with President Trump. But I think the Democrats are afraid of that, and they're not going to allow that to happen. They're going to try to do some sort of phony-ass censure with a rider attached to the censure that says he can't ever run for office again, which they don't have the authority to do. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says if you're impeached once or twice or impeached 15,000 times that you can't run for office again. Doesn't say that anywhere. And they know damn well they're not going to get a conviction. They might have four or five turncoat Republicans, but they need, what is it? They need 66 senators to convict. It's not going to happen. I mean, you can only have so many Mitt Romneys. And, you know, we're going to get rid of them all anyway. And these Democrats know that they're going to lose control of Congress in 2022. Even if they try to cheat their way back in, if there's such a thing as a vote left in 2022, which they might move so fast that, you know, there might only be Democrats on the ticket or something like that. Because after all, if a Republican supported President Trump, we're now considered domestic terrorists. That's a felony and felons can't vote. Everybody knows that. I mean, this is the absurdity. This is the level they're trying to take this. Two, why? And that are not the actions of people that aren't scared of what they've done, is the main point of the whole thing. These guys know damn well they're illegitimate, that they stole the election, that they know they have no right to be in the position of power right now that they are, and they're scared, you know, whatless. And if the people that say that the military is really in control and they're letting them hang themselves with all this nasty crap that they're doing, well, they're really in trouble in that case. Ain't none of them going to see the light of day if that's true. I think there's about a 3% chance that that's really what's going on. And I hope, I am so much in the hope that I am wrong about that and that Steve Pachinik is 100% right. And, you know, on the sidebar, Ivan Raiklin is right. And, you know, Robert Barnes is totally incorrect. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's lying. I don't know who's zooming who. I think Alex has taken the position that he doesn't want to believe that anything righteous can be possible because he doesn't want to be disappointed because he's seen this nightmare scenario coming down, coming down the pike for so many decades and tried to warn everybody. And when it's here, you know, he doesn't want to think that we can beat it. I don't know. These are, you know, like I say, this is an opinion show. I give you mine many times. I ask for yours. And I'm just going over the fascinating observations of the all the developments of the last week, which is just incredible what's going on. And the possibility that some of the people that think righteousness is gone still exists, believe it or not. So I think that's cool. But I think the Democrats run a big risk if they allow Trump and his lawyer team to defend themselves in the Senate. So I look for that to be severely curtailed to almost nothing. And they want to come up with a censure or something like that. And they want to attach some sort of rider to that censure that he can never run for office again, which I don't think it would stand up even in the crooked courts. Speaking of crooked courts, one of the reasons the people that say the American corporation thing versus the American Republic thing is valid is because every single legal recourse given us by the Constitution of the United States was tried and rejected by all those institutions. You know, because of the COVID scare and the massive amounts of alterations to state law not done by the state legislatures as laid out in the Constitution, Article 2, plenary power of the state legislatures to change and control all federal election law. It is their responsibility to sign off on anything that has changed in that regard. Well, you all know there's like 8 states that had laws changed that had nothing to do with the state legislature. It was done by either attorney general of the state or the governor of the state or some court in the states, something like that, which they don't have the legal authority to change the laws like they did. So the legislative bodies failed. The judicial bodies failed. The executive bodies in those states failed to execute their power to stop it when there was objections, such as what happened in Arizona. You know, we have a fight going on right now where the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors here in Arizona is refusing and saying they don't have the legal authority to turn over the information that was subpoenaed by the Arizona State Senate, which the Supreme Court disagrees with and has told them it was upheld the subpoena, but yet the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors still won't turn over the access to the voting systems in Maricopa County. Totally ridiculous. How about all the times that the voting images were deleted? That's supposed to be kept for 2 years after the election. You know, there's just so many things that have failed. Every single institution that is supposed to stop fraud from becoming the result, a fake result of an election, it systematically was defeated all through the process. So the people that believe in the American corporation versus the American Republic stuff that say that the military is in control, you know, if that were true, it would actually be justified for that to happen. In light of what has happened, the tragedy that has happened through this last election cycle, the only righteous thing you could do is take control from the illegitimate bastards that were traitors to this country that allowed all this stuff to happen. So on that level, I agree that the military should have taken control of this situation because there's all the other systems of government absolutely failed to do what was right and what was legal. So if you look at it in a moral standpoint, yeah, there should be a military coup that will either rehold the election or, you know, sort things out, lock up all the people that broke the law. Yeah, that should happen. Well, is that what's happening? Hell, I doubt it. God, I hope Pechenik is right. I hope the other people are right. And I hope it is happening. But man, do I doubt that. But I can tell you what. I can tell you this much. I think it's more likely, in my opinion, this week than I did last week, that there is such a thing going on, because there's so many things that don't make any sense. Why have 30,000 troops in D.C.? Why are they turning their back on the president? Why don't the Marines salute Chairman Biden? Why did that whole unit of the National Guard have their back to the motorcade? Those are things that have never happened before in our history, ever. I've even heard that Biden's not allowed in certain areas of the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. How the hell do you know if that's true or not? The answer is we have no way of knowing unless we ourselves are insiders. And if we were, chances are we wouldn't be allowed to say anything about it. So I don't know. I really don't know. But it's very odd. But things that are happening are very odd. So I'm not 100% without hope that those people might be right. Just 97%. I was like 99.9 last week. So there's a little tick in the right direction for that. So those are some of the things that I wanted to cover tonight. I want to look, I want you to watch a video that I think is absolutely awesome. And I want you to let me know if it's coming through. Dale, Mr. Producer, I would like you to let me know instantly in the public chat if you hear the audio of this video or if you don't right away, so I can I can give you the audio version if that be the case. Okay, let me see if it start. Okay. All right, I guess.
Secret cabal.
Can you hear that?
To change voting systems and laws. Got,
are we hearing this? Oh no, you won't be hearing it because I'm not sharing it yet.
Funded voter drive campaigns.
Oh, you can hear it. All right, let me share the video with you too, because my little studio that I have here, I haven't figured out all the ins and outs yet, but I'm getting there. So let me start this over. Let's listen to this video. Let's listen to Owen here for a little bit. Let me share this. You guys. Wait, that's not what I wanted to see. Where is it? Leave studio. Share. Share screen. Ah, there it is. I'm using a different computer too, so I got everything different tonight. So, oh yeah, this is the cabal admitting they, this is the, literally, they call themselves a cabal too. This is the Time, this is commentary on the Time magazine article that admits and basically brags about how they stole the election. I think it's fascinating. And, let me see how this comes through. So check this out, you guys, real quick. I have to start it over here. Here we go.
A shadow secret cabal got states to change voting systems and laws, got millions of illegal mail-in votes, censored people on the internet, funded voter drive campaigns, bully and intimidated poll watchers at the scene, and that's democracy winning? That's the will of the people prevailing? And then they say, but it's crazy in retrospect that this is what it took to put on an election in the United States of America. So it only counts when they rig it now. That's it. But they say, oh, that's democracy. That's the will of the people. They rig elections, and then they say they're here. I really don't think Biden has a clue what's going on. So whatever foreign policy is implemented in the Middle East, Biden is just going to essentially sign the paper that somebody else wrote. But just, in general speaking here, what do you think it represents? The Biden administration, what do you think that foreign policy represents in what's going to happen in the Middle East for the next 4 years? What do you anticipate?
So he's going to probably give the Kurdish militias more arms. He's going to send more troops into Syria, more troops into Iraq.
There's a certain brewery. It's outside of Austin. I don't want to give it away. It's somewhere in Dallas. They've never done the masks at all, and that's because they know the law. Because the health people come in, they cite the law. They say, no, we can't have somebody wear a mask. And by the way, if they have a medical condition, we can't force them to wear a mask. And all this, and the health people just walk away because they're like, oh, they don't even know the ordinance. They don't even know the law. So it's all bullying, it's all intimidation, and it's all from the anti-bullying left. Isn't that funny? Bullying you into wearing a mask, lying about the mask. The mask actually spreads disease. But again, what happened to a free country? What happened to my body, my choice? What happened to science?
Oh, that's only if you want to kill your baby, my body, my choice.
As soon as a free country or science or my body, my choice goes against the left progressive Democrat logic, then it just doesn't count. Isn't that amazing? So cheers to, what's the name of that place? Oats and something in Florida? Seeds and Oats, Seeds to Table. What a great place that is. Boy, I wish I had one of those in Austin. I'd go there immediately. I'd shop there every day. But notice how she says, I'm just glad I wasn't there. Neither was AOC. The woman that she's crying about being there wasn't even there either. But then look at the fraud AOC there, looking at her and patting her on the back. Oh, you're so traumatized too, aren't you? Oh my gosh. So again, listen here. Start it again from the top. But listen, she says, oh, I'm just glad I wasn't there. When AOC wasn't there either. Like, she was. What? Oh, play it.
You know, this.
So what happened on January 6th, all I could do was thank Allah that I wasn't here. I felt overwhelming relief. And I feel bad for Alexandria, so many of my colleagues that were here.
She wasn't there!
We had a policy, and it was very controversial. It was carried out under the Bush years and under the Obama years, of attacking terrorism at its root, of going after and killing, and in the case of Amar al-Awlaki, an American, a Yemeni American, with a drone strike for the crime of inciting violence, inciting terrorism. Mitch McConnell was in the Senate then. He was in the Senate after 9/11 too. How does Mitch McConnell, who understands that the way you root out terrorism is to take on, in the case of Islamic terrorism, kill those who incite it, how does he not vote to convict someone that he said on the floor of the Senate incited an insurrection?
So they're now saying you should be killed. And this is just the beginning.
The story's been blown out of proportion. Why didn't this story come out 2 years ago? This is something that I've been incredibly transparent about throughout the whole process. Obviously, I didn't go into details because that's nobody's business. But what they're trying to do right
this
now,
video is mislabeled
with this whole story. They're throwing
it says highlights. Cabal admits to rigging election against Trump. That isn't what they're talking about
right now. There's actually a congressman at the moment that's trying to do the same thing they did in Canada, which is label us some type of domestic terrorists. This isn't about us. That bill isn't about us. It's about everybody. Your viewers, InfoWars, everybody. They're using us as guinea pigs at this moment.
Right. Well, interesting. I don't really know why. Uh-oh. Okay. So that wasn't what I thought it was. It was, I wanted the one on the article on the Time magazine where they're bragging about how they stole the election. And that wasn't it. So I apologize for that because they said it was that and it wasn't. So anyway, somewhere on here is the, I don't know where it is. I can't find it. But anyway, if you guys go back through what was said there on anyone, I think it was on, it might've been on Alex's show on Friday where they talk about the Time magazine bragging about how they collaborated with social media and unlikely partners being the corporate partners with social media who normally don't agree on anything, but we all banded together to save the 2020 election. I mean, they did everything but said, hey, we stole it and we're proud of it. I mean, they might as well have said that. It was an amazing admission. It was incredible. So the crew kind of let us down there. Owen's crew kind of screwed up on that particular video. But, oh, and it's lucky you could hear it because I actually forgot to plug in. Oh, I see. I plugged that into my phone instead of plugging it into my computer. So, you know, I took an hour to set this up. I should have took 2 hours. Then I would have been dressed for you and the whole thing. But it's very great for many of you to come and listen to what I have to say tonight from the Northern Command here in the formerly great state of Arizona. We're going to see. Oh, yeah, by the way, I wanted to share with you. I got a mailing from Kelly Ward's office. She's trying to extract $45 for me by sending me a bill from the Arizona Grand Old Party. The AZGOP sent me a letter that looked like a bill for $45. Now, that's some real guts. They have the guts to send you a bill here in the formerly great state of Arizona for the great work the AZGOP did in losing all those elections that they've lost in the past couple of cycles, to where now we only have 4 of 9 Republican representatives in the House. We have 4 Republicans out of 9. So we have 5 Democrats representing the state of Arizona and 4 Republicans. And we have 2 Democrat senators. And we have a Republican governor that has his hands in the corporation that is making much money from all the COVID testing. And a guy who is a milquetoast Republican at best and usually goes with the party line and the politically correct. There are worse governors on planet Earth than Ducey, but Ducey is a douchebag and he does not belong in politics. And he must not become the next senator. My good friend James Copeland, who I had a lengthy discussion about this last week, believes that Doug Ducey would be a fine senator. Now, James, I appreciate James's perspective on that. I just disagree with it 100%. We absolutely need Republicans that are willing to be firebrands. Even though every firebrand Republican you see is trying to be run out of the party by the establishment, enter the woman from Georgia. Marjorie. Marjorie has been stripped of her committee assignments. You probably heard her speech. It was all over. She has tried to say, oh, that's good. I can use that time to go forward and tell the truth about what should be done, considering I'm not going to be as busy as I was with, my committee assignments. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been attacked by her own party, not unlike Donald J. Trump. Now, Trump really never was a Republican or a Democrat. Trump was never a political animal. He still isn't. Trump is a problem solver. He's an executive. He's like the engineer of business. A good engineer listens to everybody, picks the best information, and forges the way forward the way we think we ought to go. The CEO position in business is similar to a chief engineer's business in a manufacturing plant. It's the guy who takes all the best information and all the best people and puts them in the right places and the best ideas and signs off on them and says, yeah, do it this way. As far as the process of what should happen, not a designer, but necessarily an engineer, a different thing. But so there isn't analogous qualities to those positions. But the point is, he was never a Republican. He was a problem solver. That's the whole point. Now he joined the Republican Party because it's total idiot would have to, you'd have to be in the Democrat Party, particularly in this day and age, you know, with what they're doing now. There was a time, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe, forget it. No, it was never reasonable to be a Democrat. Unless you love slavery and you love the KKK and you hate black people and you want to discriminate against anybody who isn't white. Yeah, then it makes sense to be a Democrat because that's their history. And they spent the better part of the last 50 years trying to flip that around on us. But anybody who knows anything knows that's all crap. A real conservative is not concerned about somebody's skin color in any way, shape, or form. A real conservative looks at somebody and judges them upon what their deeds and actions are, not about what comes out of their mouth or what color their skin is and all that stuff. What are you doing with yourself? What are you doing for your community? How do you take care of your family? That's how conservatives judge whether that person is worthy of a leadership position or not. not what color skin. And we can care less about that. Any real conservative, identity politics. Who cares? You can't control what color you were born. You know, how much melanin is in your skin. Who even gives a crap about that? It means nothing. What are you doing with yourself? What are your deeds? That's the important thing. But even the word conservative has been so crapped all over, particularly by establishment, quote unquote, conservatives, that you can't even use that word anymore. I don't want to be called a conservative. There's a lot of people in this current political situation call themselves conservative that I don't want any association with whatsoever. Let me give you a prime example of that. A guy named Mitt Romney calls himself a conservative. You think I want that label on me? Shit, no. You know, so words mean more than we think they do. You know, like Rush Limbaugh always say, words mean things, and they do. And why is that important? Let me just tell you that you probably something that you already know, but I want to touch upon this because of how important it is. The reason there's a thing called politically correctness, which in and of itself is an oxymoron, is because that's how they control people. Because if they can control what you're allowed to say that's socially acceptable or politically correct, they reprogram your thought process to a way that they're tailoring to their agenda. This is a very subtle way of being of mind control. Because just the fact that the Democrats go, they own the legacy media and they tell everybody, oh, this is not an acceptable way to describe something. So your brain starts looking for alternative ways to say the same thing. They're actually programming everyone's brain in groupthink style to not say certain things. Ultimately, where that ends you up, if you kowtow to that sort of nonsense, is, well, let's go back in history a little bit. It causes communities to do things like take Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer out of public libraries, which has already happened due to political correctness. In spite of the fact that if you read Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, the valuable lessons that were written by Samuel Clemens will be lost because the politically correct police say, oh, it says, you know, the N-word in there. You can't possibly read that because it says the N-word, which totally misses the point of either one of those books, right? You all know that. Well, that's what politically correct does. It takes important lessons like what are taught in Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and says, you're not allowed to read that. Because it has a bad word in it. That's politically correctness. And that is only just a mild, deleterious effect of political correctness. Now we sit in a place in this country right now where political correctness has gotten us to a point where it's now acceptable to say on the left, if a Trump supporter equals domestic terrorist. And how we got there to where that's acceptable in the media now is political correctness. The next step from what they just, when you call you a Trump supporter, a domestic terrorist is what? It's called arrest, re-education camps. Even re-education camps is now acceptable when you're referring to a Trump supporter. With these criminals in the media, these traitors, these absolutely out of control egomaniacs that want to not only control what you say and what you think, they want to control what you believe. In other words, if you believe like I believe or what many of you believe, they will not stop until you completely disavow that and believe what they believe. See, for these people, compliance with their orders is not sufficient. They want you to believe you're doing the right thing when you comply with their orders. That's called totalitarianism. It's a big step above authoritarianism, which is where they used to be at. They have graduated from authoritarians to totalitarians. What they require of you now is your entire devotion to their agenda from your heart and your soul. And they're trying to do this through the mask nonsense. They're trying to do this through the COVID protocol. They're trying to do this with calling Trump supporters domestic terrorists. And you know what? They're scarily successful along these lines, aren't they, my good friends? So, I wasn't feeling too good before this broadcast started, being all honest with you. I wasn't good to myself. I ate junky food today, but me and Mama had a great time up here in the Northern Canaan together. We had a wonderful time in pine trees and sunshine. And the point is, living well is the best revenge. In the face of these dirty, filthy, rotten pieces of garbage that want to call us terrorists, love and live and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Make sure that everyone, make sure you do something nice for somebody you don't even know. Because you know what? Living well is indeed the best revenge. And if we all spread that, if we live our lives well, despite what they're trying to do to us, how successful is their agenda? The answer is it's not successful at all, because we're abiding by the golden rule. We live by our Ten Commandments, and we appreciate the Constitution of the United States, and we like the Declaration of Independence, and we know what they stand for. It's the quality of life that only comes from doing what we're supposed to do. So we're not supposed to hate these people. You know, we're supposed to pray for them. These ones that wish to control our every thought process. So these are the things that I wish to leave you with, my good friends. And thank you so much for joining me on this adventure in, broadcasting here from the Northern Command here in the formerly great state of Arizona. Now, the people in Arizona are great. It's our state government that's not so great on many levels. Now, we have great people in our government here in the state of Arizona, so I'm not trying to disparage everyone, but I want you to know, we're not Barry Goldwater great, are we? We're not even Three Sticks from Scottsdale great. So, with that, I hope God continues to bless you and your family and our great president of the United States, the greatest of our time, Donald J. Trump, who legally still is the president of the United States, despite what the media tells you. Fortunately, we have Chairman Biden to deal with. We'll figure out what to do with that as we go forward. Let's hope all this conspiracy people are right. You know, the theorists, the ones that say the American corporation is defunct and President Trump is still president of the American Republic. From your mouth to God's ears, I hope that's so true. I don't have a lot of faith in that, but the idea of it, I do. So God love you. Thanks for joining me tonight. And we'll talk again soon here on Article 5 Live, the best 90 minutes in digital media. See ya.